go. All right. So, as always, it is a privilege and an honor to be here, to be able to share the word. I am echoing a lot. There we go. It's getting better. All right. So this morning's title is The Roaring Lion. And it's a word that I've brought once before. And when Tim asked me to preach, I thought this would be a good word. And I thought the preparation time would be much less because it's a second time round. But it wasn't. It was very different. And it is going to be different to the first time that I brought this word. And the first challenge was actually to translate it. Because I preached this word in Afrikaans a few weeks ago. And it was actually very interesting. I put it into Google Translate just to see what it's going to spit out. And it was actually quite good. I was impressed. But there were some... Sorry, Ryan, I'm echoing badly. Okay, so I'm experiencing Tim on this side. I translated it, and now I'm reading through it, and I come across the word boat ship, and I'm like, what is a boat ship? It doesn't fit in here at all. And I had to read again, and then I had to go to the Afrikaans to, it was die boodskap. So I translated it to boat ship, so direct translation. I hope boodskap is message. So there we go. For the English-speaking people, boodskap is message. So yeah, the last few weeks we've been sharing about being a fan of... Is it going wrong? Is all things going wrong this morning? There we go. Not better. Is it better? Is it upside down? Sorry. Is it working?
You're having one of those moments.
That's still on. Hello, are we good? So the funny thing is, the last time I preached this message, the exact same thing happened with a headset, and I had to go to a hand mic, which was interesting because I didn't have my bottle of water open. So you can imagine now a screw top bottle to open that with a mic in your hand. It is a challenge. Let's move on. So we've been sharing about being a fan, and it is interesting. Because, you know, as we went through that series, being a fan, and before that, we were sharing about, and Tim said, we were chosen. So we were chosen first by our Father, and He is our fan. So everything that we do to honor and worship Him, He is our fan. He praises us, He worships us, He doesn't worship us, He cheers us on to succeed in what we do for Him. So He is our number one fan, and we must never forget that He loved us first, and that's why we get the opportunity to love Him. So this morning, we are going to talk about the greatness of God. And yeah, when you say that, you think there's so many things that we can actually talk about when we talk about God's greatness and how great He is. And I can just tell you my testimony out of my own life, how great God has been for me. And I'm sure if you guys think about it, you can see how great God is in each and every one of your lives and the grace that you've had up until now. So I want to go to the scripture this morning, 1 John 4, verse 1 to 4. And it says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits and see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come into flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now already is in the world. And this is our anchor verse, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God, and you have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. So yeah, that is always a scripture that I love to bring during prayer, because our Father and His Spirit that is in us is stronger than anything that we may face while we are in the world. So the Word tells us that His Spirit that is in us is greater than the spirit, or if you like, the devil, that is in the world. And that's why we always need to pray for discernment, because there are more than just the Holy Spirit out there. And as much as we like to sort of turn a deaf ear or a blind eye to what's going on around us, there are evil spirits out there. And we always need to pray and make sure that we are in contact with the Holy Spirit, that we can discern when these things come across our path. So the devil is in the world, and I don't want to give him any credit at all, and that's not what I'm trying to do. But like I said, we would be very naive to think that he is not trying to persuade you that what he is telling you is the right thing. So I want to tell you a quick story. I told this story to my family, and some of them are hearing it for the third time now. They didn't think it was very good, but yeah, I'm still going to tell it, irrespective. So a few years ago, a young guy was driving his bicycle, and he was cycling up and down the road in front of the church. And on one of the trips past the church, he fell off his bicycle. And there he is on the ground, roasties everywhere, blood running down his legs. And just at that moment, the pastor sort of walked past while he was shouting some curse words. And the pastor goes up to him, first of all, and he looks at him and sees the boy's okay. He's going to live. It's okay. It's part of growing up. And he says to the young man, he says, "Son, are you not afraid when you use those curse words that the devil may get involved with you?" He says, "No, not at all. But pastor, I think you should be afraid." And the pastor thinks for a second and thinks, well, I don't know how that's going to be relevant to me. But he says, "So how do you mean?" He says, "Well, I'm not the one that says bad things about the devil every Sunday. So, yeah." All right, so it wasn't that bad, was it? All right, I want to take us to our next scripture, 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 11. Verse 8. "Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." So there's a few points that I'd like to discuss in that scripture. And we will put all of them up at once. But for those taking notes, we will, as we deal with each point, you'll have an opportunity to write it down. Point number one, be sober and alert. Number two, the devil wants to devour us. Point number three, remember, your fellow believers are going to endure the same suffering. You will suffer for a short while. Number five, God will raise you up again and make us strong and steadfast. Point number six, to him belongs the power forever. Okay, so point number one. Your enemy is like a roaring lion. I don't know if any of you have ever been or visited a park or a game reserve where there are lions. And it's interesting that the scripture says he is like a roaring lion. Because lions don't just walk around and roar all day. There's two reasons why a lion roars. One is to say to other lions in the area, this is my territory, and you're going to have trouble when you come in here. And the second reason, hello, there we go, we're back, sorry, are we still there? We're having challenges this morning. Hello. Okay, third time lucky. Okay, so there's two reasons why lions roar. It is one to say to other lions, this is my territory, and you're going to have trouble if you come in here. And the second point is to call the pride and say, come to me. So lions don't just walk around and roar all day. If you can imagine a lion sleeping there under a tree, jump up, starts roaring, and then goes hunting, I don't think he's going to be very successful. He's going to be probably a very hungry lion and probably end up dying from hunger. So, a few years ago, I was with my family and we were in the Kruger Park, and we went on a night drive. And we didn't leave the camp very far. It was maybe half a kilometer or more. And we came across a male lion lying right next to the road. And the lion didn't do anything. It was just resting. But while we were sitting there, the lion started calling to other lions to bring the pack in. And he was not even roaring very loudly. But the ranger put the lights off, and we were sitting there in the dark. I remember my daughter had to come sit next to me because it was frightening. And as this lion is now just calling, not even out of anger, just calling the rest of the pack to come closer, it like vibrated in your heart. It's like, that is frightening. So you can imagine that the devil doesn't walk around and scare people away. He will come quietly, he will lay in the grass, and wait for his opportunity to grab you when he can. I want to take us back to 1 John 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So, you see, that lion is going to come very quietly, very softly, and most likely try to tempt you first. Like, Chris, nobody will know if you're lying. It's okay to tell the lie. It's okay to take the sweet. It's okay to fib about something. He is going to come and quietly start whispering in your ear. He's not going to come as a roaring lion. So we always need to make sure that we guard our hearts and we constantly pray for discernment to know if that spirit is from the Lord or not. And the devil will use anything that is dear to us as well. So it's not just, he won't just come with sin. He will use your cell phone, because it's stealing time from God. He will use things that are dear to you, like your kids. Your kids can become idols. anything that steals time from you or from God can be seen as something that could be idolized. And we need to guard against that. And don't misunderstand me. Don't think I'm saying that you're not allowed to spend time with your kids or your family or your wife or go and watch a sport event. I'm saying if you put that first above Jesus, then that is when you start idolizing something. And the devil is going to use everything that he can to win us back. So point number two, the devil wants to devour us. So, the scripture, and I think we all know this, Daniel 6, verse 16 to 24, where Daniel is in the lion's den. And when I think of a lion, a roaring lion, I think of the scripture. Verse 16. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." The stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation may not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. And he could not sleep. At first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near to the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed, and he gave the orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wounds were found on him, because he had trusted in God. At the king's command, the men who falsely accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the lion's den, among with their wives and their children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed their bones. So that is quite vicious. And now, if you think about it, it is the same lions that was there with Daniel, and their mouths were shut. But when the false prophets came and they were thrown in there with their wives and children, their bones was crushed before they hit the floor. If you can just imagine, I know it's gruesome, but that's what a roaring lion is. And he doesn't care if it's women or children, he will tear you apart. Okay, so now we have an idea of what a roaring lion is. Okay, point number three. Remember, your fellow believers are going to endure the same suffering. So many times we feel we are going through something and nobody understands us. Nobody knows what we are going through. And a few years ago, Stephen Furtick used a little story to explain this. And he said, some people go through a storm in a warship. The storm is there, and the waves are big, and the ship is under attack. But you have plenty of reserves, your faith is strong, and you can probably withstand the storm, and you can probably even launch an attack while you are in the storm. But somebody else is going through that same storm in a rowboat. Both may reach the end, but they will not endure or have the same sort of feeling while they are going through the storm.
I don't know if you guys remembered, well, I think everybody will remember COVID. Some people went through COVID saying, oh, we have 3 weeks of rest, the phone doesn't ring, we have plenty of time to pray and spend time with God. But other people were going through that storm, not knowing if they will have a meal for that evening. So that's just an example of the same storm, and people are going through the same storm, but they experienced it differently. And even if somebody has gone through a storm that you are going through, they can give you words of wisdom, they can support you, they can love you. But it is through our Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that God will understand exactly what you are going through. Only God knows how you are experiencing a storm. And it may be a small setback, or it may be a big setback of losing a loved one or losing somebody that you care for. And people may have experienced that same thing, but nobody will know exactly what you are going through except the Holy Spirit. Point number four, you will suffer for a short while. I don't know why. I cannot answer that, but we know that we will all suffer for a short while, and that short while is while we are on earth. But Matthew 11 verse 30 says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And now you think, but then why am I suffering if the yoke is easy and the burden is light? It doesn't say that there won't be burdens. It doesn't say that there isn't a yoke to carry. But with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus, it's easier to carry the burden, and He will comfort you. So that's what it means. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have pain. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have suffering. It doesn't mean you're not going to have challenges. If we weren't, or if we didn't have any challenges or burdens, would we really rely on God to help us through these times? So, even our Father went through suffering when He was crucified. So, even Jesus endured suffering for a short while. And many times we go to our Father and we pray about a situation, we pray about a burden, we pray about our yoke. But when we leave there, we just pick it up and we take it with. And we need to get to a point where we need to put our trust in the Lord. When we take a situation, pray about it continually, but leave it and trust that it is in God's hands, and we need to leave it there. All right, point number five. God will raise us up again and make us strong and steadfast. So I'm going to tell you another little story. And I actually brought it up in the vehicle when we were driving back about the Lion King. And I hope nobody's offended. But for those who have not seen the movie The Lion King, the children's story, I want to give you a little bit of background and then tell you what I took from one scene. So the leader or main lion leader of the pack is Mufasa. And his brother Scar is very jealous of him, and he would like to be the leader. So he creates a situation where Mufasa dies. And his son's name is Simba. And after the accident, Simba runs away because Scar made him think that it was his fault. So Simba is in the wilderness for a period of time. And then there is a monkey named Rafiki that comes and talks to Simba, who was the king's advisor at one stage. And they're very glad to see each other, and they start talking to each other. And Rafiki says to Simba that he needs to come back to the pride. And Simba says to him, but Mufasa's dead, so there's no more tribe, or there's no more pack. And Rafiki says, no, he's alive. And Simba is a little bit confused, and he tries to convince Rafiki that, no, Mufasa is dead. And Rafika says, no, I'll go and show you where he is. And he starts running. And Simba starts following him. And eventually they get to a piece of water. And Rafiki moves the reeds away. And as Simba looks into the water, he sees his own reflection. And he says, that's just my reflection. And Rafiki says to him, no, look harder. And as he looks, he sees his father's reflection. And he lives in you. And that's exactly the message with the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. And we need to remember that he is in us and we are his children. And go back to 1 John 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God, and you have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So we are his children, and we need to remember that. But now, what about the Spirit that is in us? How do we know that that Spirit is in us? If we go to Romans 4, verse 10 to 11. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit, or because his Spirit lives in you. So we know that his Spirit is in us. And we know the strength of his Spirit. And we know his strength because in Daniel 22, when we read it, God sent his angels to shut the mouth of the lions. So we know that the Spirit that is in us is stronger than the one that is in the world. And these are the same lions, like I said earlier, that ripped the men and women and children apart. So we know our Father has strength. Point number 6. To him belongs the power forever. So, are any of the people that represented Malta in the room this morning, put up your hands. Nobody from Malta here. That is so disappointing. Oh, there we go. We got one. So this week, while we were in Joburg, we met a couple that came from Malta. They just came from Malta recently. They were there for 2 years. They planted a church there. And they are now back in South Africa, and they're planting a church in Winterton. So they told us some stories about Malta. And it was very interesting. There is a dispute on the island where different people believe that Paul landed in different areas on the island. But they were saying that the scripture is very specific, and it gives exact details as to where the ship was wrecked. And the anchors of the ship has actually been found. So it was very interesting talking to them. And by that time, I had already prepared this word. So, yeah, it was probably meant to be. Okay, so let's read it quickly. Acts 28, verse 1 to 6. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because of the rain and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood. And as he put it on the fire, a viper driven out by the heat fastened itself to his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he must be a god. So this is a good example, and that's why I'm using the scripture this morning, where Paul was attacked by a snake, and he was bitten on the hand. And if you read it, it fastened itself to his hand, and it was hanging there. So it wasn't just a strike and a bite. The snake was physically hanging on his hand, and he had to shake it off. And now you think, did it hurt? Of course it hurt. It's a snake. And it bit him on the hand. He was probably bleeding. And that's where there shouldn't be a misunderstanding that if we have the Holy Spirit, we will not be attacked and we will not get hurt. But because the Spirit of God was with Paul and he was under his protection, nothing happened to Paul. But he did endure pain, and he did probably feel the effect of the snake. But he was kept safe by the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly how our enemy attacks us. It will attack us without warning, without walking around and roaring. It'll wait for the opportune moment to attack us. The interesting thing is when we spoke to the couple from Malta, so Malta is predominantly Roman Catholic, and they were telling us that there's actually a big following of Paul, St. Paul, more than Jesus Christ, actually, which is concerning, because they need to obviously be told the right thing, and that's why it is essential to plant churches there. Just another interesting fact of the island, they say that most of the time, throughout the year, there's no waves. There is no waves. But when the stormy season comes, the waves are so big that there are some roads that are close to the shore that the waves will actually break over people's vehicles if they're driving on that road during the storm. So I have a short video that I'd like us to have a look at. And while you look at the video, pay close attention, because there is going to be an exam afterwards with some questions for you guys. Okay, so now you guys are thinking, what has that got to do with this service this morning? But if we can have slide number one. This is the lion. It looks all innocent, and how could that be the lion? It doesn't make sense, does it? Slide number two. This is you. You think you are strong, healthy, you can face anything that comes, and you probably can. But when the flowing starts, can you stop it? Slide number three, sin contained. So before that water was open, or that little channel was open, sin was contained. And as long as you leave it where it is, it's probably okay. No problems. Slide number four. Temptation. So there's this old lady, and I think she knew exactly what she was doing. And she starts picking away at the sand slowly, making a little channel. But it looks innocent. Slide number five. When sin comes into your life, it's a little trickle, just slowly. Doesn't overwhelm you. It's not a roaring lion. It's a little whisper in your ear. Slide number six. It starts getting stronger. And at this point, you can probably still manage it or stop it if you really want. Slide number seven. Okay. Sin is out of control. There's no way that you can face sin on your own or try and stop it anymore. Slide number eight, the armor of God. So how are we going to change what is happening? We put on the armor of God. And if we don't have, so the interesting thing of that slide, when I looked at it, the board is under his arm. He's not on the board at the moment. And that is like having an umbrella and standing in the rain and the umbrellas in the house. Just knowing that you have the armor of God doesn't mean that you've got its protection. You need to put it on and pray it over you daily. And then the last slide. When you have the armor of God on there, you can be like Tim and you can face those waves and the sin. All right. So now we know what to do to protect ourselves against the sneaky attack from the roaring lion. And I'd like to read that for us. Sorry, it's not done. All right. Ephesians 6, verse 13 to 17. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with a readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, or their roar. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, this is my encouragement to you. Every morning, pray that over yourself, pray it over your family, pray it over your kids, because we do have His Spirit in us, but we need to pray His protection over us as well, so that when the roaring lion does come, we can face it head on. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You this morning that we are under Your protection. We thank You that Your Spirit is stronger than anything we face. And we know our strength comes from You, Lord. You have given us Your blood and Your protection. And I pray it over each and every person here this morning. We are under Your protection. And we know that we can face anything that comes our way. You have given us a comforter that even when we get attacked and even when we get hurt, we know our strength comes from You, Lord. And we can face anything as long as we know we have You protecting us. Amen.